Hi, my name's Camilla George and welcome to the Jazz Podcast. My new album, Ibio Ibio, is out today and this is my single, Abasi Isang. Camilla George, welcome to the Jazz Podcast. It's so lovely to have you back on the show. How have you been?
Yeah, I'm good, thanks.
Amazing. You had your launch listening party last night for your new album. How did it go?
Yeah, it's good. I mean, to be honest, I didn't really know what a listening party was before, but I'm not sure I know what it is now. But it was nice to have everyone there to listen to the album through and to talk a little bit about the inspiration for the tunes.
Oh, I see. So you don't play live. You listen and you chat and...
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Cool. So you've not done anything... No, I've never been to anything like that before. Okay. So where's the venue? Tell us how this works.
So the listen party was at the Library Lounge last night at the Standard Hotel. First time I've been there. Very, very nice. And we just had a little section there, although it did open afterwards to Drag Queen Bingo, which was really cool.
Wow. Did you stay for that?
Stay for that, yeah.
Oh, wow. That sounds fantastic. What night.
Yeah. Yeah, so good night.
How much of the album do you play at a listening party?
We played the whole thing from beginning to end, and that's quite nice because that's how I wrote the album. I wanted it to be played like that. So it's really, because people don't listen to music like that anymore. So it's quite nice to play something from beginning to end.
Yeah, totally. I completely agree. And that's how I listen to music. So I feel really funny about the idea. And because you're right, most of the, I don't want to call them consumers, that sounds a bit faceless, but you know, people that are listening, it's weird the way you write something but then it's received so differently to what you had in mind. And there's not, well, I say there's nothing you can do about that. You've just done something about it, a listening party.
Yeah, and I think things like doing, that's where vinyl comes in as well, because if you do put the album on vinyl, unfortunately, you can't skip on vinyl. You have to just listen from beginning to end. And I like that about that new, you know, it's not a new idea, but they're kind of, it being back in vogue.
Yeah, it's like a new old idea to not have a 15-second skipper. So you can just exactly. Wow, that's such a good point. So did you ever consider not having vinyls for your album?
No, I mean, the first album, it certainly wasn't a thing. When I did my first album, Isang, in 2017, I don't think people weren't really doing the vinyl. But definitely for the second one and the third one, it's more also because of the art. I love the artwork on vinyl. I'm a I've been working with this amazing artist who's done all of the artwork for my albums, a guy called Kristen Banfield. It's just an opportunity to showcase that as well.
We were just talking to Robert Mitchell, and his show's coming out next week, but he was saying he's done physical for 11 of his 12, and the one that he didn't, he's going to go back and do because it's like driving him a little crazy, you know, that it's digital only.
Yeah, I think it's nice to have a physical, and especially when you tour, it's like, you know, you can say to people, you know, check it out on Spotify, whatever, but it is nice to be able to give people the actual vinyl or CD.
Yeah, I agree. Did you take a stash of them all last night?
But this is the thing I've just realised. I didn't. And we are going to Belgium on Sunday. We're supporting Femi Kuti at Het Depot. So I'm going to have to try and dash back in and get a stash.
Go grab some. Yeah. Tell us about the album then. What were your inspirations for the music?
It's basically about the Abibio people. I was born in Eket, and they're Abibio people, eastern coastal Nigeria. And I wanted to write an album first. Initially, it was just going to be our creation myth. When I was looking into the creation myth, it was kind of a little bit misogynistic. So I thought maybe I won't focus on that only. And also there was loads of stuff in my research that I was interested in. I've written about a secret society, Ekpe, which my granddad was part of, and his dad. I've written about a shrine in the village, the Long Juju Shrine of Arachuku, which is where people were judged. So, and if they're found guilty of a crime, they walk through these tunnels. And down to the beach. And if they were found guilty, the water was said to turn red. In actual fact, there were boats there waiting for them to go into the slave trade. So there's loads of like, really interesting stories that I found.
Well, that's terrifying.
I know. And that one, it's like, with that particular one, it's like, it's that kind of uncomfortable aspect of slavery, you know, the fact that you have people who were enslaved and then you have people who were enslaved also working for slavers. You see, the first time, you know, I saw Roots with Kunta Kinte, I mean, he's enslaved because somebody's informed on him, somebody in his own village, you know, and it's just an unsavory aspect of what happened in the slave trade. But yeah, that shrine's there. So that was something I wanted to write about. And I collaborated with Sanity, Birmingham-based rapper, who actually, she really got it. I sent her through all the research and her lyrics are banging. They're great. She's really got what I wanted her to get from that.
She features on the album.
Yes, she does, on three tracks.
And how did you decide that was a direction for it? Were you already a fan of her music and you just like how does that work?
We'd actually been on, I think it's three tours together. The last one, just before lockdown, was with Pee Wee Ellis. So we did his tour, which was amazing because obviously he then passed away not long afterwards. And Sanity's amazing, somebody I've always wanted to work with. And it just came to me that would be the direction I wanted her to be involved on the album. Also on that last tour was Daru Jones, who's a hip hop drummer, and he was in the Pee Wee Ellis thing. And I just thought, if this is going in the hip hop vein, it has to be, I have to get the hip hop king on that track. So I was really pleased that they both agreed to do it.
Tell us who else is on the album.
There's a load of people on the album. So Sarah Tandy, Daniel Casimir, Winston Clifford, Renato Paris on keys and vocals, Kajali Kuyate on Kora, Shirley Tete on guitar, Sheila Maurice Gray on trumpet, Rosie Turton on trombone, obviously Sanity and Daru Jones. Sam Jones also on drums on one tune. Yeah, it was a big old band and it was a bit stressful trying to record that during that lockdown.
Yeah. It was all of it done during lockdown.
Yeah, so it opened we recorded it in the December and it opened up for a bit. We were literally closed. I think the lockdown happened a few days after we'd recorded, which was very lucky. And we were also very lucky that nobody came down with COVID, because we were thinking that was going to be a situation. Rosie had contacted me saying that she had been in contact with someone that had COVID, and it was one of those days where, you know, you had to go and get the expensive test. So she was going off to get this test, and luckily, you know, she didn't have it, so we were able to do it. But as soon as we finished it, it was because it was mixed and recorded by Luke, who used to work at Pizza Express doing the sound, excellent sound recorders. We were just going to go and do the mixing, but then everything was closed, so we had to do everything via kind of Zoom and using programs so that we could hear it, the changes being done in real time. That was good. I mean, it's great to learn how to use that technology, but
it was so you were at home and but able to see real time changes when you're mixing it.
Yeah.
Wow.
It was really cool. He did tell me last night what the program was, but I've forgotten it. I produced the album with Tom Harrison, who was at college with great alto sax
player. I was thinking about Tom the other day, and I was just wondering what he was up to. This is amazing.
Yeah.
Answered a question for me that I was, oh, brilliant. That's lovely.
Yeah, writing and producing. So the three of us in our three separate homes, we must have spent ages on these Zoom calls, really just going back and tweaking it. Then we'd listen to it on our systems, come back again. And it worked. It took a lot longer than if we'd been able to go, you know, round to Luke's studio and just do it. But, you know, we had to work with what? With the restrictions. Annoying now to think, because you think of Boris having a good old party. And, anyway.
Hey, can we talk about the album launch on the 16th of November?
Yeah, so launching the album on the 16th of November at the Jazz Cafe as part of the EFG London Jazz Festival. The big band's going to be there. I don't know how we're going to fit on the stage. I think people are slightly worried about that, but it will be fine.
It always seems to work in the end somehow.
Be fine. We've only got like two pianists and like, horn section, guitar. You know, it'll be what it will be. No, it's going to be a great night. Sanity's going to join us as well, which I'm really excited about. We've done a few gigs with her in Birmingham mainly, because obviously she's in Birmingham. But yeah, she's going to come down to London for this one, so it's going to be fun.
That's fantastic. It'll be amazing to have it all, because you've got so many musicians involved, you know, to get everyone in the same place at the same time is no easy thing.
Nope. No, I mean, that back room at Jazz Cafe is obviously not going to contain everybody. I feel like the tiny little cupboard that they offer for the green room is not going to contain the 15 musicians who are going to be performing.
Yeah. And then I was just thinking that the bar will just have to do it. That'll be
it's not a hardship, is it really?
What's coming up after the album launch?
Ooh, after the album launch, we have a few things coming up that they're quite exciting thing, which I'm not allowed to talk about yet. But
that's right, I'll just bleep a really long period of the show.
It's an overseas thing that's happening. It's very exciting early next year. We've actually just finished an amazing tour. We went to, we played at Blue Note Milan, where actually in the hotel we met Mike Stern.
What?
I know. It was absolutely, and his wife, and they came to the gig. I couldn't believe it.
So cool.
Well, cool and also terrifying. But they were playing the next night. Unfortunately, we missed them. But yeah, Blue Note Milan, what a vibe.
Wow. Then we
went to Bimhouse. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right. Bimhouse in Amsterdam. Amazing. It's the first time I played there. I know it's like everyone goes on about this venue, but I'd never played there. But wow, that was so cool. And then we did two nights at Duc de Lombard in Paris. And that was pretty cool. So I'm a bit dead after that. We do have some more dates, mainly European dates coming up. We're going to Slovenia and somewhere else where I've forgotten. But
it's great. Day,
I'll be busy. And I also play with China Moses. So, and she's got a pretty hectic tour, European tour, which will be ending, I think, Christmas Eve. So hopefully.
Oh, wow. Yeah, do you think you'll get home in time for Christmas?
So I have been quite forthright about making sure that my Eurostar is booked.
Wow. Oh, I feel like the Netflix cameras should follow you home on that. Like, that's just got like, yeah, midnight Christmas Eve, getting in the door, you know, like just in time. I can see it.
It's got made for TV movie all over it, hasn't it?
Can you tell us about this misogynistic creation story? Because it sounds really interesting.
Yeah. Well, it was basically, I mean, it was more just that, first of all, it's basically about them creating, it's quite similar to basically God.
Mm-hmm.
Because Abasi is like considered to be the supreme god and basically the origin of our people. And he was supposed to be ruling with his wife, who is typically known as the goddess of mediation. So she kind of gets involved. And basically, he created everyone in their own image, but he didn't, when he created the humans, he didn't give them the ability to kind of feed themselves. And they found, I'm not explaining this very well.
No, I'm loving it. I'm actually loving it.
But basically, they wanted to be able to live on their own terms. And so they asked if they could live, leave the sky and live on Earth. He was just like, nah, I don't want that to happen. But Atai steps in, he's mediator, and she says she wants a compromise. So she says the humans can live on Earth, but they have to return to the sky every day to have their meals. And they weren't allowed to hunt or to do anything else, farm. They were also forbidden to get married and to have kids, because they were basically worried about being overpowered, is the way it seems.
It's quite an interesting story, because it rings true to climate change, you know?
Yeah, don't have too many kids.
No, we need mediators to come in and you know, sort of help us out. As humans, we're just like running riot, trashing the planet at the moment. Sorry, carry on.
No, and then basically, obviously, as you know, humans being humans, they broke the rules. And Abasi was really angry about it, and he blamed his wife, Atai, because she was the one that convinced him to let humans live on Earth in the first place. But she did have a cunning plan. So in order to prevent humans from growing too powerful, she sent evil into the world, and that's like evil's basically death and nasty things. And basically that was how they kind of learned to control the humans. So it's not really the greatest story in terms of putting that out there and throwing your hat into the ring and saying, yeah, this whole album is about that. Because the story's a bit dark.
That is pretty dark.
Yeah, it is pretty dark. It's like, you saved me, so now I'm going to send death and illness. And, yeah, you guys, good luck with that. So that's why I was like, I like it, but I also want to write about other things.
So how do you take that and make it into the music that it's become?
Well, like, I'm always, I think I said this the other day, I did first degree, I actually did ancient and medieval history, which I know is quite...
Wow, yes, that was in Tara's notes.
Yeah. Yeah, so I did ancient medieval history. And I basically love stories, and that's really what influences me. So for it's different for loads of people, but I write to stories because I like that aspect, and I like a research aspect as well. So I think that's how I was influenced in terms of the writing. I researched it, I felt like I understood the stories, and then I find something that I start writing what I feel fits the stories.
So it's just the influence of the story that you take forwards onto a score when you start writing.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. I mean, for example, like in my last album, The People Could Fly, there was a tune about tapping the land turtle. Well, in that story, tapping the land turtle, his whole village are starving. There is a famine, and he meets the king of the underworld. And says, you know, I'm starving. I need some food for my family. And he gives him this stick, and he says, if you tap that three times, food will appear. And that's why the theme is three times on that song. The words, and you say the words, and that's why I wrote it like that. And that's the theme. It's also in three. Apart from eight bars, which are in four.
But we don't talk about those.
We don't talk about that. That's just the bridge. but yeah, there's a reason for it. You know, I like to write like that. I find it interesting.
Yeah, it really is. It's an amazing album. It's such an interesting story, such amazing way for listeners to be introduced, like me, to a mythology that I'd not heard of before, which is really nice. And to remember that there's a lot more in the world going on than just what's in my immediate vision, you know. I find it very I find it very soul enriching to find stories and music like this, and then get lost in a cave of discovery and get to talk to you about it. Has been amazing.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah, and I do like, I mean, we've got to, stories are a great way to kind of disconnect from the world, aren't they?
Mm.
Which is what I've always liked about them.
Yeah, and that's something I love about your album, is that you have a story that goes all the way, and each track has got its own history and its own reason, you know?
Yeah, I like doing, yeah. I mean, other people write differently. That, for me, that works for me, as I say, because of the way my brain goes. But and it's also quite focusing as well, because you can then get into the vein of it and just be like, oh, well, it should sound like this because this happens, and these are the important things that I've taken from the story.
I completely agree. It sounds incredible. We're going to finish with the track Creation, so that we can check out all of the wonderful ideas that you have just shared with us. Camilla, George, thank you so much for coming back on the Jazz Podcast. Congratulations on your album, Ibio Ibio, which is out today, Friday the 30th of September. So go and check it out.
Yeah. Brilliant. Thank you for having me.
We've loved every second.
Thank you. shake them. Let my music be the fruit of knowledge, digest and taste. Recipe not for waste, let us embrace them. Love like cooked food and passed down through generations. A journey across the sea and home's the destination. A soul, a spirit, a okpong celebration. Being a minute, so forgive my pronunciation. My bad. Set this route that I'm taking. Swoop any loose roots, causing frustration. We're facing a change and a people need saving. Waving for sun rays, the storms we've been sailing. The walls have been caving, but look, we're amazing. We still rise, strength of the ancestors' praises. Pass through the ages, transfer my heart onto pages. Cannot be silenced, we faded.